Chapter 16. Down at the dock, Harry Morgan had driven up alongside of where the boat lay, seeing there was no one around, lifted the front seat of his car, skidded the flat, web, oil-heavy case out, and dropped it down into the cockpit of the launch. He got in himself and opened the engine hatch and put the machine gun case below out of sight. He turned on the gas valves and started both engines. The starboard engine ran smoothly after a couple of minutes, but the port engine missed on the second and fourth cylinders, and he found the plugs were cracked, looked for some new plugs but couldn't find them. "Got to get plugs and fill gas," he thought. Below with the engines, he opened the machine gun case and fitted the stock to the gun. He found two pieces of fan belting and four screws, and cutting slits in the belting, rigged a sling to hold the gun under the cockpit floor to the left of the hatch, just over the port engine. It lay there, cradled easily, and he shoved a clip from the four held in the web pockets in the case up into the gun. Kneeling between the two engines, he reached up to take the gun. There were only two movements to make. First, unhook the strap of belting that passed around the receiver just behind the bolt. Then pull the gun out of the other loop. He tried it, and it came easily one-handed. He pushed the little lever all the way over from semi-automatic to automatic and made sure the safety was on. Then he fastened it up again. He could not figure out where to put the extra clips, so he shoved the case under a gas tank below where he could reach it with the butts of the clips lying toward his hand. "If I go down a time first after we're underway, I can put a couple in my pocket," he thought. "Be better not to have it on, but something might jar the damn thing off." He stood up. It was a fine, clear afternoon, pleasant, not cold, with a light north breeze. It was a nice afternoon, all right. The tide was running out, and there were two pelicans sitting on the piling at the edge of the channel. A grunt fishing boat, painted dark green, chugged past on the way around to the fish market, the Negro fisherman sitting in the stern holding the tiller. Harry looked out across the water, smooth with the wind blowing with the tide, gray-blue in the afternoon sun, out to the sandy island formed when the channel was dredged where the shark camp had been located. There were white gulls flying over the island. "Be a pretty night," Harry thought. "Be a nice night to cross." He was sweating a little from being down around the engines, and he straightened up and wiped his face with a piece of waste. There was Albert on the dock.
"Listen, Harry," he said, "I wish you'd carry me."
"What's the matter with you now?"
"They're only going to give us 3 days a week on the relief now. I just heard about it this morning. I got to do something."
"All right," said Harry. He had been thinking again. "All right."
"That's good," said Albert. "I was afraid to go home to see my old woman. She gave me hell this noon like it was me had laid off the relief."
"What's the matter with your old woman?" asked Harry cheerfully. "Why don't you smack her?"
"You smack her," Albert said. "I'd like to hear what she'd say. She's some old woman to talk."
"Listen, Al," Harry told him. "Take my car and this, and go around to the Marine Hardware and get 6 metric plugs like this one. Then go get a 20-cent piece of ice and a half a dozen mullets. Get 2 cans of coffee, 4 cans of corned beef, 2 loaves of bread, some sugar, and 2 cans of condensed milk. Stop at the Sinclair and tell them to come down here and put in 150 gallons. Get back as soon as you can, and change the number 2 and the number 4 plugs in the port engine counting back from the flywheel. Tell them I'll be back to pay for the gas. They can wait or find me at Freddy's. Can you remember all that? We're taking a party out tarponing and fishing them tomorrow."
"It's too cold for tarpon," Albert said.
"The party says no," Harry told him.
"Hadn't I better get a dozen mullets?" Albert asked. "In case the jacks tear 'em up? There's plenty jacks now in those channels."
"Well, make it a dozen. But get back inside an hour and have the gas filled."
"Why you want to put in so much gas?"
"We may be running early and late and not have time to fill."
"What's become of those Cubans that wanted to be carried?"
"Haven't heard anything more from them."
"That was a good job."
"This is a good job, too. Come on, get going."
"What am I going to be working for?"
$5 a day, said Harry. "If you don't want it, don't take it."
"All right," said Albert. "Which plugs was it?"
The number 2 and the number 4, counting back from the flywheel, Harry told him. Albert nodded his head.
I guess I can remember, he said.
He got into the car and made a turn in it and went off up the street. From where Harry stood in the boat, he could see the brick and stone building and the front entrance of the First State Trust and Savings Bank. It was just a block down at the foot of the street. He couldn't see the side entrance. He looked at his watch. It was a little after 2 o'clock. He shut the engine hatch and climbed up on the dock. Well, now it comes off or it doesn't, he thought. I've done what I can now. I'll go up and see Freddy, and then I'll come back and wait. He turned to the right as he left the dock and walked down a back street so that he would not pass the bank.